1 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 13 through 17 as we begin to look at this honorable behavior that is called submission in relationship to human authorities. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act as free men. Do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Now, as we enter into this topic of submission and its relationship to all kinds of authorities of life, I do want to say up front, there's no way that I can answer every question that may arise concerning every differing circumstance when it comes to submission. But I can say this, that Peter is going to give to us Christ-like boundaries that can hedge in our pathway as we attempt, by the grace of God, to have honorable behavior before God and before others. And so every circumstance has different nuances, right? But God doesn't have a book called Pastor Jones, the first epistle of Pastor Jones, and here's the circumstance, and here's how you're supposed to walk through that. But he does give a signpost, an illustration, an example in the Scripture that can help guide us through that. As believers, we live in a fallen, dark, ignorant, and foolish world. Would you agree with that statement? It's dark because it's evil and not light. It's ignorant because they are ignorant of the one true God and His Son, Jesus Christ. And it is foolish because they are not walking in the wisdom of God. They're walking in the foolishness of humanity. People today, and this is true all throughout human history since the fall of Adam and Eve, that men and women exalt in self. Men and women love to go their own way, which means they don't want people, let alone God or any authority, telling them what to do. We're all like sheep going astray, having gone our own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And not only do we want to go our own way, and not only do we exalt naturally in ourselves, but while we're doing that, we tell everybody how wise we are. And even when we hear of people who do it their own way, we think, that is so smart. They really made it through life their own way. And in fact, they did not do that. But they profess themselves to be wise, but in doing so, they become what? They become fools. And folks, part of our warfare that Peter talks about in chapter 2 in verse 11, to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, part of our warfare is the fiery darts that come our way. Now, a fiery dart, and in reference to the book of Ephesians, refers to those flaming darts that are sent toward us, that if they hit us, they set us aflame, right? They're fiery darts. And this refers to things that come our way that inflame our sinful nature, our fiery lusts that are inside of us. And so we naturally have this sinful nature that causes us problems, right? But we also have this fact, that other people may say things that inflame my nature. They may call you names, right? They may shame you. They may reproach you. They may do things against you that are unjust. And all of these things come to us. These are the sufferings of Christ, this type of suffering that Jesus himself went under. They all come like fiery darts, like a whole barrage of fiery darts. And if we don't have our shield of faith up, our faith in God, right, our faith in Christ, to quench those fiery darts, they hit us. And what happens then, we have to deal with our own internal sinful nature. And once that flame gets going, you and I both know this. It attacks your soul, right? And it's very, very difficult once the fire is ignited to put it out. Because even when you think you put it out, there's those smoldering embers that are lying there under the ash that can inflame, right? Put a piece of paper on top of what looks like a fire that's gone out, and if the embers are there and the heat is there, the paper will what? It will ignite. And that's what happens in our soul. It is an attack against our soul. And what Peter commands us to do is to have honorable conduct. Verse 12, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing which they slander you, that's part of that fiery dart that is coming, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. And so we have this honorable conduct, conduct that is worthy of the Savior, so that, by the grace of God, perhaps these people might see our good deeds and they might be drawn to Christ. They might be born again. Now, having said that, I do want to say this. Honorable conduct by itself does not save anybody. But honorable conduct can open a door of confession, of faith toward them. If you look over in 1 Peter chapter 3, look down at verse 14. But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled, but what? Instead of being intimidated, instead of being anxious, instead of being troubled, do what? Verse 15. Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense. Now look at this. To anyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you. Everybody see that? When we have that good conduct in the midst of injustice, that good conduct in the midst of reproach, that good and worthy behavior in the midst of slander, it can not save anybody, but it can open a door to which you can give to people your hope. And your hope is in who? Your hope is in Christ. Amen. And it is that word about Christ that can bring them to the point of being born again. Amen. So our conduct is absolutely critical, because if we act like everybody else, what we are telling people is that you have no hope. Right? You're acting just like who? Acting just like everybody else. But when you act Christ-like, it opens that door of confession by the grace of God, so that you can say, my conduct is not of myself. If it was left to me, I would be responding just like every other ordinary human being. But I'm responding the way I am because Christ is in me. And let me tell you about Him and what He has done for fallen human beings. Everybody see that? It just opens that door for that. So we're to have that honorable conduct. And in the foundation, the very foundation of that honorable conduct is this word that is not tolerated today, is the word submission. Submission. We are to be submissive in a lot of areas of life. Would you agree with that? In other words, submission, brethren, is not just for women. Everybody hear that? It's not just for wives. Normally in the context of the argument today, normally it's a woman who says, "You just want me to submit to men, especially white men." As if Christianity only taught that women should submit. And it does not only teach that women should submit. It teaches that we all should what? We all should be submissive. And that includes men. And it includes white Caucasian men. And so submission is not just for women. It's not just for wives. You ready for this? Not just for children. You know, the two areas that I hear preached on is this. Number one, wives, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Okay, and all the men say amen, and the women are silent. Okay? The other area that I hear is this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. In fact, that was the first verse we taught our children, if I remember correctly. Okay. And we think that the word submission is only for women and children, but not for men. And that is incorrect. In fact, submission, brethren, is the very core of genuine Christianity. Submission is the very core. If you take submission away, you have taken the very heart of Christianity out. We are to be submissive to God, first of all. Amen? We are to be submissive to one another, the Bible says. And so usually if you hear people harping about submission, I kind of liken it, just using an illustration here to try to get us to understand, I kind of liken it to a parent who keeps telling a child, pick up your clothes. Okay, you tell a child one day, pick up your clothes. And they're like, you know. Next day, clothes are still on the floor. Pick up your clothes. And they pick up their clothes. Third day, I don't think they're getting it. Pick up your clothes. And then the child says, that's all you ever talk to me about, is pick up my clothes, pick up my clothes, pick up my clothes. Okay, that's like a woman saying, all you ever talk about, submit, submit, submit. Well, it could be that's all they're talking about. It could be you're not submissive. Right? Just like a child not picking up the clothes. Why are you always telling the child, pick up the clothes, pick up the clothes, pick up the clothes, clean your room, clean your room, clean your room, clean your room? Why are you saying that, parents? Because they're not what? They're not doing it. And yet that's the argument today that you hear out in the culture. In fact, if all you ever talk about to your children is pick up your clothes, pick up your clothes, the solution is obvious. Pick up your clothes. If you pick up your clothes, I can guarantee you will not hear, pick up your clothes. Right? And so that is kind of the essence of what it, you can substitute anything in there. Pick up your clothes, clean up your room, do your job right. You can put anything in there, right? And yet they'll turn around and say, you know what? You're just a pick up your clothes racist. You know, well, I can tell you what my mother would tell me if I said that to her. She would just look at me if she didn't explode all over me when I was a kid. She would just look at me and say, go pick up your clothes. Right? Because that's what I wasn't what? That's what I wasn't doing. And so submission is there, not just for children, not just for women, not just for wives, but for everyone. I want to give you some examples of submitting to one another. Okay, maybe this will help you understand. I actually talked about this with my wife the other day, but yesterday I had the honor of attending Nancy Weekly's funeral. Alfreda was there, and I had the privilege of picking up Shirley, and we got in the car and we came over to the funeral. And on the way, both my wife and I helped Shirley. I helped Shirley walk to the graveside. Everybody got the picture? Okay. When we left, I helped and other people helped Shirley back to the car, because we had to walk up a little hill, and you know how dirt is. It's got stumbles, and when you're older, you can't pick up your feet, and you know, all these types of things. Now, my relationship to Shirley is a brother to a sister, right? But I'm also her pastor. As a pastor in a local New Testament church, I have authority. Yes? I have authority. Okay. Folks, I'm the one that has authority. But what I did with Shirley was I submitted to her. I took the lesser position. In other words, if you're helping somebody, you're saying by your helping them, they are of higher elevation than you are. Like you take a king in a country. Do they have authority? Answer yes. Okay. Who does the king come down and serve them, or are people serving him? People are serving him. But in my illustration, who am I serving? I'm serving Shirley, even though I have the authority. I was glad to do so. Okay. That is what I mean by submitting yourselves one to another. You can take an illustration. Is the husband the head in the home? Sure. Okay. What if he goes, let's assume that one of the responsibilities in the home is for one of the children to wash dishes. Okay. Should the child wash dishes? Yeah. Okay. What if the head of the home decides, I'm going to help? What is he doing? He is submitting himself, right? Even though he has authority. He has the authority to say, do the dishes by yourself. But he decides voluntarily to come and submit himself by being a what? By being a help. And folks, that goes on in a local New Testament church all the time, does it not? That people who have differing arenas of authority come into a local New Testament church and serve one another. Let's say one of our, just give you an example. I'm just trying to help you to understand how this submission thing works. Let's say Jonathan, I'll just use one of our young children. Let's say Jonathan comes up and he says, Pastor, would you tie my shoe?
I say, I have the authority around here. Tie your own shoe.
What do you think about that? Am I authority? Could I tell him, tie your own shoe? I could. He probably couldn't. Okay. Could I tell him, no, go to Susanna and have her tie your shoe. Go to Walter. Do I have authority to do that? Okay. But what happens if I bend down and I tie that two-year-old shoe? What am I doing? I am arranging myself under, right? I am serving. I am submitting. In that case, I'm submitting. I'm not giving up my authority, am I? But I am submitting in that type of thing. I'm arranging myself under someone else voluntarily. And folks, Jesus Christ did that. Jesus Christ is God. He's the Son of God. He's the eternal Son of God. But here's what the Scripture says. He was made under the law. It's His law, right? Folks, the lawgiver doesn't have to keep the law. But He arranged Himself under, right? and was born into this world. And he arranged himself under that law. And he kept it perfectly, did he not? When his parents told him what to do, he could have said, I'm the Creator.
Bow down.
But he didn't, did he? What did he do? He arranged himself under. And folks, he really arranged himself under when he died for our sins. The one who is the sovereign stepped off the throne of glory and was our sin imputed to him so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's the beauty of this. Can you see what I'm saying? Submission is the very core of Christianity. I had a situation one time, just to give you another example, a couple that I wrote down. I was, I forget where the place was, but I do remember the situation. And I held the door for a woman. A woman was coming behind me. I held open the door, and she looked at me and said, don't hold open the door for me. I can get the door myself. Just like that. She thought, this is what she thought. She thought by me holding the door open for her that I was demeaning her. That I was making a statement that women can't hold open the door and that some white Caucasian, I know they're the same thing, but white Caucasian male had to open the door for her. But folks, in reality, I was submitting myself to her. I was actually honoring her. Everybody see what I'm saying? I'm actually honoring her by a man who supposedly has the authority, right? That I'm holding open the door for even someone I don't know. I hold open the door sometimes for men. If they're really close behind me, I'll open the door for them. I've never had a man say, you're demeaning me. They usually say, thank you. Because they're in a hurry and they're trying to get somewhere. Right? Folks, the lesser should open the door for the greater. And if I open the door for someone, I'm intentionally humbling myself, submitting myself, or I could word it this way. I'm intentionally loving the other person by showing respect. I don't know if you've ever had this happen to you, but, you know, a child, if they say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and yes, sir, and no, sir, you know what they're doing? They're showing a submission, are they not? Now, they can be rebellious and say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. We all understand that, right? I can hold open the door in full rebellion. Okay? But when a child does that, they're making a statement that they're respecting you, that they're taking the position of the lesser and giving honor to the greater. What does the Bible mean, brethren, when the Bible in the Old Testament said that if an elderly person enters into the room, you are to stand up for them? What are you doing? You're honoring. You're showing respect, right? You are submitting yourselves one to another. Amen? This is what we mean by submission. And this is what our culture has lost. They actually, in many, many cases, see submission as evil. Now, just because they see it as evil does not give us an excuse not to be submissive. I remember saying, yes, ma'am, to someone, and the woman says, don't call me ma'am. I said, yes, ma'am. I wasn't trying to be sarcastic. I just mean, it just comes out. It's called respect, right? And folks, we've lost respect for people to the place where we're willing to kill babies because we disrespect children. Everybody see what's happening here? Okay? And it's not long before their disrespect for children is going to be disrespect for the elderly. And they're going to want to get rid of us too because we're costing too much in the medical system. It's all part of this rebellion that is going on. And folks, if there's one place where submission should be preeminent, it's in a local New Testament Bible-believing congregation. Amen? There is authority structures in a local New Testament church, but we also are brothers and sisters. And ultimately, the one that every one of us is submitting to is not to the pastor or to the deacons or to trustees or anybody else that has leadership. We are submitting to Christ. And if I will not be submissive to someone I can see with my eyes, I can assure you, you are not being submissive to the one you can't see. And so as we address these areas of submission, then we need to understand and acknowledge what Peter is going to show us later. And that is the governing example is Jesus Christ before human authority. Now look down, chapter 2 of 1 Peter, down to verse 21. It says, "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example to follow in his steps." Now, was Jesus shamed?
Yes.
Was he slandered?
Yes.
Was he physically harmed?
Yes.
Was he beat?
Yes.
Was he scourged?
Yes.
Was he treated unjustly or with justice?
Yes.
Unjustly, right? Unjust. He was put on a cross. Did he commit any wrong?
No.
No wrong at all. And yet they put him on a tree. That's our example. Verse 22, "Who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth, and while being reviled..." Folks, what's our natural tendency if somebody's reviling us? We're ready to give it back plus, right? "When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he uttered no threats. But this is what he did. He kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously." And folks, this is very helpful for us. And this is really one of the keys to our understanding how we can go through life with grace and peace reigning in our hearts. If we're always looking at the wrongs that are going out there, if we're always looking at the wrongs that are being done to us, we're going to have a miserable life. Because we live in a dark world. Are there wrongs out there? Yeah. Is there injustice out there? Sure. Even Solomon, who wrote Ecclesiastes, who was the government, said he found sin in the government. Well, he was part of it, right? All right, what do you do when things are going wrong? What do you do when people, you remember, act foolishly, unwise? Well, sometimes it's there to say something. Sometimes it's there to keep entrusting your soul to the one who is the judge. Right? We look to the judge who will judge how? Righteously. That's how we maintain our soul, because we know the one who died for us. Amen? And we know that he is the sovereign of all things. And so we've got to acknowledge, and Peter's going to use Jesus' illustration, his example, he's going to use this all throughout the book. So you got to understand that governing illustration of submission in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Because we will see it over and over and over again in this book. So let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution. Now here's the general truth, the broad generality that Peter is going to give to us, and it is this. In our relationships in this life, we are to have an attitude of submission to any human authority structure. Any human authority structure. The word here that you see that is translated in our New American Standard, the word institution, everybody see that in verse 13? Is really, almost all commentators say that that is not the best translation. The Greek term there refers to things that are created. So we could word it this way. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority that has been created by man. This is a human creation. It gives the impression, when we say every human institution, it kind of gives the impression that we're only dealing with government, even though he's going to mention government. But later on, if you look down in verse 17, he's going to say, honor everyone, right? Love the brotherhood. He's going to speak in very broad generalities. So Peter is referring to any and all systems of authority structures of this age. So can you name some of them? Government, right? Local government, yes. School systems, teachers, Sunday school teachers, right? It could be a leader on a sports team, right? You have all of these types of human created structures and authority. And we got to note that Peter is talking about this. He is noting those systems of authority, and all of the systems of authority in this dark fallen world are of human creation. Even though they are overseen by the sovereignty of God. So we could actually say, because God permits certain government structures, right? He is, that those structures are of Him in that sense. But all human government is all humanly created. God did not create the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of America. Some people think so. Like that came down from heaven. There are monarchies, right? There are dictatorships. There are all different types of human means of government that man has devised to try to keep people together under their authority. Now, what this means, even though Peter's listing government first, what this means is this. Since all systems of human authority are all humanly created. Now, I'm not talking about authority within the church that comes through revelation. Okay, I'm talking about out there. Therefore, we come to understand this. Any argument for me being not submissive to an authority because they may not be fully biblical does not hold water in the sight of God. In other words, I can't say my government today is not biblical because, you know, if Christ was here, it'd be a dictatorship. Okay? So because it's not biblical, then I shouldn't pay my taxes. People argue that way. You'll see it on the internet. People will argue the government uses our money to do bad things, right? And so I shouldn't pay my taxes because I'm not going to fund abortion. I'm not going to fund Dirty Yard. I'm not going to afford, you know, all these types of things. Okay. You can't say, well, my husband is not biblical in all his ways, so I don't have to submit to him. A man can't say, well, my boss does not walk in biblical ways, so I don't have to submit and obey him. Everybody with me? Doesn't matter what the human authority. You can't say, well, you're a Sunday school teacher. Who are you? Right? I'm the pastor's son. Okay. I'm of higher value than you are. No. If you're there and you're in that class, she or he's the authority, you better what? You better submit. Okay, that's loving, yes? That's submission. So we can't use that argument to justify a lack of submission. Now, it is granted that if the authority, I'll grant this, if the authority is kind and gentle, it is way easier to be submissive than if the authority is a perverse person. Right? If the authority is mean, demanding. Let's take my illustration. I'm helping Shirley, right? Okay. What if I'm in the car and right before we get out, Shirley says, Pastor, you come over here and help me right now. Okay. Now what should I do? I should what? Tell me, what should I do? I should go help. But I would have a lot harder time. Because that fiery dart probably would do something inside of me. You agree with that? Okay. But it doesn't negate my responsibility to walk in love and to walk in submission. Everybody with me? Okay. So I'll grant that. And I'm just going to say this, whether you're a child or whether you're an adult, if you have a kind and gentle authority, you need to thank God for that. Because that is unusual on the face of this earth. Everybody with me? And so, the argument that an authority structure is not biblical does not justify our lack of submission toward them or to the Lord. Secondly, I want you to note here in verse 13 that Peter is referring to authority structures outside the church. In other words, how do Christians relate to authority structures outside of the local New Testament church? The answer to that question is this. We are to have the Spirit of Christ. We are to arrange ourselves under the authority which is shown by our obedience. Now, sometimes people make an argument that says this. Well, I am being submissive, but I'm not going to do what they tell me to do. In other words, they would argue that submission does not include what? Obedience. But folks, the Bible does not hold that up. Let me ask you this. Do you think that Jesus was submissive to his parents? Okay, let me ask you this. You think he obeyed them? Do you think that when the Bible says in the book of Luke that the devils obeyed the apostles, the word is there, is submitted. Do you think that the devils just had the right attitude about it? Or do you think when the apostles said, depart, in Jesus' name, they what? They obeyed. Yes? Or this. Romans 8 says that the creation was submitted to vanity. Okay, do you think there's any part of creation that is not groaning under the curse of vanity? You think there's any part out there that says, well, we're having the right attitude in the midst of this? No, it's all been subjected to vanity, right? Meaning what? It obeys vanity. It's vain out there. And folks, the Bible says that one day all things will be submitted to Christ. Do you think that means we're going to have a kingdom one day where everybody has the right attitude but everybody's disobedient? Well, I'm disobeying, but I got the right attitude about it. No, our submission is shown in our what? In our obedience. And so, I won't go through the other ones. Submission can take on various forms, but the fact of the matter is, all things must submit. Now, you ready for this? Even lost people. When a person gets saved, what are they doing? Folks, what are they doing when they get saved? They are submitting to who? To the risen Lord. What would you think about somebody says, well, I'm submissive, but I'm not going to obey Him? You would say, yeah. Try that at home, kids. Well, I've got a good attitude about not doing the dishes, but I'm not going to do it. I think your parents might see that a little different. Okay? And I know these things are funny, but I'm putting it on a practical level because this is how the world is arguing. And this is how even within broad Christianity, women are arguing. On blogs, internet, this is the type of argumentation that's going on. Folks, submission does involve obedience. And then thirdly, I want to put this as a footnote. If you're taking notes, please take this down. No human authority is infallible. None. The Bible says to the church, obey them that have rule over you. Do I have boundaries of authority? Answer is what? Yeah. Am I infallible? Answer is no. I'm not. Can I make a mistake? Could I sin? Can I make a wrong judgment? Yes. There was a teaching years ago. I haven't heard this teaching in a long, long time because I think the pendulum has swung all the way to the other side. But there was a teaching a long time ago that I had to deal with when I first got into the ministry that a woman should always obey her husband regardless of what the husband tells her to do. And there were some pretty vile situations that I had to deal with where husbands were asking their wives to do things that were directly sinful. And even though it is true that a woman is to be submissive and have the right spirit, folks, any authority, now here's the other thing that the world is saying, any authority can be corrupt. You don't say, no, I don't want any authority over my life because authority is corrupt. Let me give you a few examples of authorities that took their authority and did bad things. Well, that's always going to be that way in a fallen world. And folks, I want to ask you this. Do you think that Peter was aware, when he wrote this, that Peter was aware that the Roman government was shot through with corruption? What do you think? I think he did. And do you not think that he was not aware that the Roman government was committing injustice toward believing people? I mean, that's the reason we have the book, right? Yeah. He was aware of these things. We live in a sinful world. Parents can be sinful. Moms can be sinful. Dad can be sinful. We can be sinful among our peers. Pastors can abuse authority. Government can abuse authority. Those who don't like authority can abuse their authority. I mean, you know, this is the way the world is. In fact, God does hold women accountable when you think of Ananias and Sapphira, who agreed to lie to the church and therefore the Holy Spirit of Christ And Ananias comes in and he does this lie, and what happens? God kills him. And then later, the wife, not knowing what happened to her husband, Peter says to her, "Did you agree to sell the property for X amount of dollars?" She said what?
Yes.
And she what? She died. She should not have said yes. Now, I want to conclude with showing you something here in the Scripture that's going to lay the foundation for our upcoming second part. It will not take long. You may want to underline it. I'm going to point it out here. This is Peter's main emphasis concerning being submissive to every human authority. I want you to look in verse 13. I want you to underline, "for the Lord's sake." Everybody see that in your Bible? Nod your head if you see that in your Bible. Okay? Now go down to verse 15. Underline, "is the will of God." And in my notes, I got a little arrow going from "Lord's sake" down to "is the will of God." Now go down to verse 16 and underline this, "as bond slaves of God." Okay, everybody see that? Okay, so you got submission for whose sake? The Lord's sake. And verse 15, this submission for the Lord's sake is the will of God. Why? Verse 16, because you are bond slaves of who? Of God. Everybody see that? Okay. That's the emphasis that he's placing here. In other words, we are to be submissive to every human authority for the Lord's sake. Now let me translate that into a paraphrase that might help us a little bit better. We are to submit ourselves, brethren, because Christ commanded us to. And that submission, verse 15, is the will of who? It is the will of God. Everybody see that? In other words, we're doing it for the Lord's sake because the Lord is the one who told us to submit to every human authority. And it is the will of God for believing people. And folks, because it is the will of God for believing people, then why should I do that? Because I am a bondslave of who? Of God. He's the one that told me to be what? Submissive. And so it is the Lord who has commanded us to submit to every created authority. In other words, folks, let me word it this way. Almost done. You are not to be submissive because you just want to get along with the authority. Now, some people do that, right? They have a grumbly heart. Their heart's really rebellious. But this keeps peace. Okay? That's not a reason for a believer to be submissive. Nor is it a reason to be submissive because being submissive means I have a happier life. Like you take a child, for instance. Unsubmissive child, unhappy life. Okay? Submissive child, happy what? Happy life. No, no, no. That is not the reason that we as believers are to be submissive to every created authority. We are submissive because the Lord our Master commanded us to submit. In other words, who are we being submissive to? We're being submissive to Christ. Amen? And because I'm being submissive to Him, I am submissive to the authority structures that I can see around me. I'm not doing it to have a happy life, although it may be happier. I'm not doing it for any of a multitude of reasons. I'm doing it because I love Him. That I am a bondslave of God. And folks, you can say this, but it won't hold water. You can't say, "Well, I'm not a submissive person, but I love the Lord." and I am submissive to him, I'm just not being submissive to you. Folks, we know the degree of our submission to the Lord in our degree of submission to human authority. Now, there are times that we have to not be submissive. If my boss tells me, you cannot talk about Christ, even if someone asked you, you are not to talk about religion in this company. I'm sorry. I cannot help but speak about what I've seen and heard. Now, if it's affecting your work, you better listen and do your work. Amen? Okay. But if they're saying, you know, on my lunchtime, on my break, somebody, I bring it up, somebody talks to me, and I bring it up, you're telling me I can't? This is who I am. And I'll never forget, I was talking to a boss one time, and I'm not sure I did this right. I was very young. I've been saved about 2 months. And they gave me a bad review. And I asked the one, I said, well, this review is worse than my other review that happened 3 months earlier. Has anything changed with my work? Here's what the boss said. Oh, no. You're doing great. And I'm thinking, now what's the difference between then and then? And it came down to this, that the one who did the evaluation did not like the fact that I was a Christian. And I said, okay. That makes sense. I'm happy now. I'll take a worse evaluation if they're saying I'm still doing my job and I'm being a believer, right? So, folks, I remember talking to someone. I asked them this. I said, can we talk about pornography at work? They said, sure. I said, can we talk about sports at work? They said, sure. They say, can we go around and take one of those things where people gamble, you know, and they say, you know, so-and-so is going to win, you know, put it in the pot. And they said, of course. I said, so we can talk about pornography and we can talk about sports and we can talk about gambling and we can talk about just about anything, but I can't talk about the Lord. And I remember the one who was my superior got very quiet. And said, I see what you're saying. Folks, there are times that we can't submit, right? But that should not be our demeanor. Most of the time, they are not asking you to do something simple. It may be unjust. It may be stupid. It may be overbearing. It may stretch you. But it's not a reason to rebel. We are not to use our freedom as believers as a covering for evil doing. But we are to walk in submission, and when they see those good works, they just might ask you why you're doing that. And you'll have an opportunity to give them the gospel. Let's pray.